Welcome to Issues of the Heart. Have you experienced anger, jealousy, anxiety, depression, marital storms or difficulties? Maybe struggling with self-control? Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help. We deal with these issues and more on Issues of the Heart. It's a weekly broadcast hosted by J. Albright and a variety of guests, where we examine biblical remedies to those issues of the heart. Stay tuned for this week's episode. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Issues of the Heart. Have you ever spent nights awake, unable to get any sleep, or maybe unable to concentrate throughout the day, maybe on the job, or maybe just in a meeting with people, and you hear people talking, and it's just kind of wah, 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 like the Charlie Brown situation, and you don't get it, but it's because your mind is in turmoil and you're thinking about something, and there's stuff that bothers you. You know what? I have dealt with a lot of people who go through those kind of issues and battles, and I've gone through those myself. And if you're listening to me, I guarantee you, you've had times like that too. Sometimes it's because we're trying to get ready for something, or we're focused on a task, or we're nervous about something we have to accomplish. But more often than not, that's not the issue at all. One of the biggest problems I see facing people in general, whether it be on the job, whether it be at school, whether it be in the family or in the marriage, the problem appears to be unforgiveness. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go on to say that a lot of the spiritual problems people have begin with unforgiveness. If you were to go to the average church, you would find people that saturate that particular body with unforgiveness, and it haunts them, disturbs them, makes life difficult. I have learned in dealing with couples that once we start peeling back the onion and we get down to the heart of whatever the problem is, we find at the very core, at least 80% of the time, is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. It's easy to say, well, we ought to forgive everybody. It's easy to say we ought to forgive our mate. It's easy to say we ought to forgive somebody on the job, but saying it and doing it are two totally different things. And I'm going to show you, I think, tonight, that if we could get the victory over unforgiveness, it may change the way we look at almost everything we deal with in our life. So watch very carefully. We're talking about the anchors, those anchors that we throw out when our relationship is in stormy water. When the storms come, when the water gets rough, and the difficulties are present right there, we need to throw out the anchor of forgiveness. The anchor of forgiveness. Let me read a verse for you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, the Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, the first part of that verse, "be ye kind one to another," sometimes that can be tough, right? But then he said, tender-hearted, compassionate toward people, forgiving one another. Listen to me carefully. This is the number one preventer of marital restoration. Because I believe that people, when something happens, it could have been anything. It could have been something your mate said. It could have been something that was done. It could have been a problem that you had in the past. And we have a hard time forgiving. Unforgiveness is the deliberate, willful refusal to give up the idea that I have a right to get even. Let me give you that again, boy. You need to think about that. Write it down if you need to. Unforgiveness is the deliberate, willful refusal to give up the idea that I have a right to get even. They did something to me. They said something to me. They responded the wrong way to me. And you know what? On the surface, it may even seem that it's justifiable. I mean, I'll be honest with you. In my lifetime, there's some people who've done some pretty rough things to me. There's people who've said some pretty rough things. There's people who have gone behind my back just like you. There are people who have made false accusations just like they have to you. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves drifting into that mentality of, boy, it sure would be good if something would happen to let them see how wrong they really were. It's almost like we're cheering God on to get back at them because they treated us wrongly. You see, when you were married, you brought into that marriage the idea that you're going to do your part to make that marriage succeed and be one. When you got saved, you gave up the right to get even. You gave up the right to get even. Think about it. Unforgiveness has a negative effect on how we are portrayed to other people. People look at us, and unforgiveness is like it's like a virus that everybody catches when they get around us. It's one of those, that spirit of unforgiveness is a spirit that people can pick up on even when they're not involved. We're going to talk about this a little bit when we have our guest on to talk about anger and how you deal with anger. But there was a spirit of, people can have a spirit of criticism. Even when they're not being critical, you can sense that spirit of criticism. People can have a spirit of sarcasm. Even when they're not being sarcastic, when you get around them, you just feel that spirit of sarcasm. And when people have an unforgiving spirit, all you have to do is get around them, and you can sense that unforgiving spirit within them. And that unforgiving spirit has a negative effect on those who are around. It affects our witness. It affects our testimony. It affects our relationship with our wives, our husbands. It affects our relationship with our kids, that unforgiving spirit. You see, unforgiveness blocks your ability to be able to grow together as a couple. Unforgiveness. Remember Peter? Remember when he was at, or when he said, "You know, I've forgiven him 7 times." And what was he told by the Lord? He said, "What about 70 times 7?" Or forgive until it becomes so natural that you forgive before you're offended. Think about that one for a minute. Wouldn't it be something if we could get so accustomed to be forgiving, that we forgive before we're offended? And so when we get offended, we automatically have that response of forgiveness. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Unforgiveness affects us physically. I'll tell you that in my lifetime, I have probably lost more nights of sleep battling unforgiveness than any other thing I know of. Somebody did the wrong thing. Somebody said the wrong thing. Now, plenty of those times I really was wrong, but believe it or not, there were a few when I wasn't wrong. And that effect of their attack weighs heavy to the point where I couldn't sleep at night. I'd find myself actually thinking, boy, I wish something would happen so they could see how wrong they are. Well, first of all, if you think that way, probably nothing's ever going to happen that's going to make them see how wrong they really were. Unforgiveness is almost like a cancer. And I can tell you again, that when we counsel people, individuals and couples, almost every time, at the very core of the problem sits that seed of unforgiveness. Almost without exception. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, we don't often want to forgive, but we always want forgiveness. We're eager to desire forgiveness, but we're not eager to give it. In order for us to forgive, we have to learn how to forgive. I wish it was as easy as getting up in the morning and say, you know what? I think no matter what my wife does today, no matter how I might get offended on the job, no matter what anybody says to me, I am making up my mind today, I am going to forgive. And I'm telling you, I don't hardly make it through part of the day before I've already gone back on my desire to forgive. So let me give you some steps in learning to forgive your mate. Well, I tell you what, she's wrong most of the time. Doesn't matter whether she's right or wrong. Well, he always has an attitude. Doesn't matter whether he has an attitude or not. Well, you don't know what she's done. It doesn't make any difference what she's done. Well, you don't know how he hurt me. It doesn't matter how he hurt you. There are some steps you need to take in learning to forgive. And now you got to remember this. Forgiveness never hurts, or unforgiveness never hurts the person who needs to be forgiven. It only hurts the person unwilling to forgiveness. If you'd get this, if I'd get it. To forgive is to our benefit. I'm the one that's going to feel better about forgiving. I'm the one that's going to sleep better at night because I forgave. I'm the one that's going to be healthier because I chose to forgive. So here's the steps. First of all, number one, acknowledge unforgiveness is serious to begin with. I believe that we take it so lightly. We hold on to a grudge and we take forgiveness so lightly. And we don't realize that it is the seed at the center of most of our relationship problems. You got to acknowledge it's serious. unforgiveness is serious. And then you need to, number two, take responsibility for it. Take responsibility for your inability to forgive. It's no one's fault, but my fault and your fault when we're unwilling to forgive. Take it seriously. Take responsibility for it. I've heard this 100 times, and you guys have heard it. We so often we fail to take responsibility for our error and for our fault and for the decisions we make. But do you realize you make the decision not to forgive? It's a conscious decision you make when you've been wronged by somebody else. It's a conscious decision. Take responsibility for it. Number three, when you realize that you've been unforgiving, confess it to God. Father, I'm guilty of unforgiveness. I'm guilty. I've been offended, and I chose not to forgive. I am guilty. Number four, acknowledge is a violation of God's word. What God said in the verse we just read, God said, if you won't forgive others, neither will he forgive you. Think about that for a second. I'd like God to forgive me every time I mess up. But if that's going to happen, I have to be willing to forgive other people when they mess up. As a matter of fact, right now, while you're listening to this podcast, right now, I would almost guarantee you, just this week already, and this is just Monday, something has happened that you already started not to forgive. That's a violation of God's word. You have to acknowledge that. Ask God to forgive it. Number six, make the decision to lay it down, but not based on emotion. Make the decision to lay it down, not based on emotion. Let me explain. Sometimes things happen in my life, and it could be personally, it could be at church, it could be on the job. Something happens where I feel maybe that I wasn't treated justly, or I wasn't treated like everybody else, or I was wronged in some way or the other. And that's a struggle. It's not in my nature to forgive. It's not in your nature to forgive. We have to make a decision to lay unforgiveness down, not based on emotion. We just lay it down. Then the next thing you do, and this is probably one of the most important things, start praying for that other person that you refuse to forgive. Start praying for them. Do something for them. Pray, pray, pray. Because it's hard to be unforgiving when you're praying for the person you refuse to forgive. Ask the Lord what you can do for the other person. Maybe there's something you can do for them, no strings attached. Maybe there's some way you can help them, and you get no benefit from it. Remember, you're not trying to be a blessing to the person you're forgiving. It's you. You're the one that gets the blessing for choosing or when you choose not or choose to forgive and you choose not to have a heart of unforgiveness. So, you acknowledge that it's serious. It is serious. Like I said, it's at the root of almost every problem we deal with. Take responsibility for it. Being unforgiving is no one's fault but yours. Take responsibility for it. Well, you don't know it. Doesn't matter. Take responsibility. Well, she said, doesn't matter. Take responsibility. 3, confess it to God. Father, I am guilty of unforgiveness. Now, your nature wants you to say, God, will you get them? They wronged me. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So, Lord, do it. Get them. Well, confessing to God, Father, I'm guilty, that's kind of the opposite, right? In your relationship with your husband, with your wife, that last thing you were so unforgiving of, have you held on to that all this time? And like a cancer is destroying your life and your relationship, well, confess it to God and say, I am guilty. Acknowledge it's a violation of God's word. Ask God to forgive it. Make the decision to lay it down, to stop with the unforgiving spirit. Just stop. Don't base it on emotion. Don't do it because you listen to some tear-jerking gospel song. Don't do it based on emotion. Make the conscious decision to lay it down. I'm going to lay it down no matter how I feel. I'm going to lay it down whether I'm excited or not excited. I'm going to lay it down whether I'm emotional or I'm not emotional. Lay it down. Start praying for the other person. Hey, you know what? You ought to pray for your wife. But pray harder for your wife when she's offended you somehow. Pray for your husband. But pray harder for your husband when he's offended you. Don't choose unforgiveness. Ask the Lord what you can do for the other person. How can you be a blessing to them? I'm telling you, you can't be a blessing to someone and be unforgiving at the same time. You just can't do it. Evidence you have victory over unforgiveness. Number one, you won't see the other person the same way anymore. If you've gotten victory over unforgiveness, you won't see that person who wronged you the way you saw him before. Another evidence that you've overcome unforgiveness is that you won't respond to the other person the same way. You won't see them the same way. You won't respond to them the same way. Have you ever caught your... I've caught myself doing this so many times. That's why I chuckle a little bit about it. Have you ever caught yourself having a negative, grouchy response to particular people all the time. I mean, all they have to do is open their mouth and you have some kind of rhetorical response. Even demeaning sometimes. Well, when you choose to forgive, you won't respond to the other person the same way anymore. When you choose to forgive and you've gotten victory over it, you'll accept the other person the way they are. Well, he's got some issues, okay? You'll accept them the way they are. Well, his attitude stinks, okay? But you'll accept them the way they are. Well, she just has this haughty spirit, okay? But you will accept her the way she is when you choose to forgive. When you're getting victory over unforgiveness, you try to understand why they act the way they act. Be wonderful if we could all get to the point when somebody treats us wrong and somebody does the wrong thing to us. It'd be wonderful if we could get to the point where we would say, man, I wonder what happened in their life to get them to that point. When I was working in a facility in Indianapolis, Indiana, I had a lot of people that worked for me. And I remember sending, we had a situation where we got really behind on our work, and I probably had 25 or 30 aircraft on the ramp that we had to get loaded and get out. And the people in the warehouse were way behind. So when we finished on the ramp, I told all of our employees to go inside and help inside the facility so all of us could go home at a decent hour. And so I took care of some things on the ramp. All the aircraft were gone. I went in the building and I had three of my employees that were standing on this end of the building where I came in, and they weren't helping anybody do anything. And at the very other end of that, the loading area, there was a lady down there that had mail stacked to the top of the ceiling trying to load containers by herself alone. And so I walked up to these three employees and I said, what in the world are you guys doing? Didn't I instruct you to come in here and go help other people? And she's down there trying to do that by herself. We could all be home if you'd go help. I want y'all to go down there now and I want you to help. So two of the three went down there. So I kind of stepped away and then I turned and looked and one of the three stayed right there where they were. So I came back and I said, did you hear what I was talking about? Did you hear me say go down and help? Well, yeah, I did. I said, okay, but you're not going down there. She said, well, if you'll go down there and show her how she needs to load it correctly, I'll go down there and help her. I said, no, you misunderstood. I didn't ask you to teach her how to load it correctly. I didn't say that she needed to load it correctly. I just simply said I want you to go down there now and help her load that container. She looked me eye to eye. And she said, well, what side of the bed did you get up on this morning? I said, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and relax. Go home, kick your shoes off, put your feet up, watch your favorite program, drink a glass of iced tea, and just relax for about 3 days. And after you've relaxed for about 3 days, come back and let's talk. She said, I don't want to go home. I want to talk about it right now. I said, no. You really don't want to talk about it right now. Just go home, kick your shoes off, prop your feet up, and relax. And in 3 days, come see me. You see, I knew if we talked right then, she would end up getting fired. So I said, go home, relax, come back. So 3 days later, I was sitting in my office, and there was a knock on the door. And I opened the door and she came in. You'll never guess what the first words out of her mouth were. The first words out of her mouth were, please forgive me. I was wrong. I should never have acted that way, and I should never have said that. So we talked for a moment. And I found out the day she responded that way, on her, just before she came to work, she found out about a tragedy in her close family. She came to work with a heavy burden on her shoulders. A burden so heavy that it affected the way she saw everything else. It affected the way she responded. It affected the way she acted. What would have happened had I reacted to what she said, responded without forgiveness? I would have hurt somebody who was already hurting desperately. Now she came back. And she came back with the same spirit of forgiveness I had the day she was sent home. So remember, unforgiveness, take responsibility for it. Remember this thought. Those who choose to forgive have the greatest blessings in the world. But those who choose not to forgive have the greatest problems in the world. The water gets tossed, the wind's blowing hard, what are you going to do? Well, I would throw out the anchor of forgiveness. Stop the ship, and we can fix the marriage. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. We'll talk to you next week. Remember, forgiveness, practice it this week. Choose on purpose to forgive. God bless you.